This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And the new car is in the driveway, and for many new faces looking at committee and subcommittee leadership positions in the Congress, it's a day to push the pedal to the floor. With no Democrats to block things in the Senate, for some lawmakers, it looks like a straight stretch of smooth pavement, as far as you can see. Now, there is a presidential veto wall out there somewhere, yikes. But on opening day for the 114th Congress and a new majority in both the House and the Senate for the Republicans for the first time since 2006, who wants to wreck the Republican family hot rod? For Republican Congressman Rob Bishop, representing Utah's 1st Congressional District, today is his first day as chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. He joins me now. Welcome, Congressman.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me on.
So what does this new leadership position on this committee allow you to think about doing to push as an agenda with your confidence that your counterparts in the Senate will be supporting you this time?
Well, I do have a great deal of confidence this time stuff that we pass on the House will be able to be discussed in the Senate, and I think much of it will be passed. The Natural Resource Committee deals with a wide variety of issues, all affecting federal lands in some way, going from energy to water development to land issues to Native American issues.
Do you support a reduction in federal control of lands in the United States?
Well, you have to realize the federal government currently controls one-third of the land mass of the United States, and that was never intended to be that way. Anything we can do to empower state, local, and tribal people to have greater say on what is happening in their areas is a plus. And especially if we can do it so that we take the issues out of the courts. The courts are a lousy way of trying to create some kind of land policy and put it back in the legislative approach where people have some input. That's the ideal situation. Yeah, we're going to move in that direction.
Isn't it the case, though, that most of that acreage you refer to is in Alaska?
No. In fact, it is one of those disconnects that people think about. Most people, when they think of public lands, think of a national park. National parks are only 13% of the land that the federal government actually controls and owns. The bulk is in BLM land, which is almost all west of Denver. States like Utah, which is 70% owned by the federal government, Nevada is 90%, Alaska is 90%. Those are the states that have the bulk of these kinds of lands. And so it's a disconnect when people think about public lands, what it actually means to be a public land state.
Do you support the harvesting of old growth timber on Bureau of Land Management land?
Actually, the timber harvesting goes from the Forest Service, which is still under our jurisdiction, but it's actually part of the Department of Agriculture and the convoluted way we have organized policy issues in Washington. Old-growth timber should be harvested if you want to have a healthy forest. Clear-cutting is different than just harvesting. If you actually want to have trees that are having the room to grow, so that habitat takes place, there is place for greater animal life that takes place, and you can reduce the amount of disease that destroys forests, you have to do some kind of regular thinning of forests. It's happened throughout history, and it's either done mechanically by man or it's done by fires of some kind. There is a better way of doing it. So, yeah, there should be some kind of thinning of the forest if you want to have a healthy forest system.
Congressman Bishop, do you support going back to the policies of the Bush administration in the very, very liberal granting of mineral licenses and extraction permits for drilling in federal lands, especially thinking about the price of oil declining now?
Well, the Bush administration was not all that liberal in what they were doing in the first place. And the second area is what we need to have is a consistent policy. And that's where Energy and Commerce Committee deals with energy issues on private land. My committee deals with energy issues on public lands, and we need to be consistent with the two of those. So any kind of energy development, both onshore and offshore, I need to work with that other committee to come up with a policy that is consistent for the United States.
But how would you prevent industry officials from being responsible for granting drilling licenses, as was the case discovered during the Bush administration? How would you regulate that?
Now, there are a couple of different layers you can do that. First of all, there are still regulatory issues with the federal government, but if you were actually to turn over a lot of these decision-making abilities to state and local authorities and tribal authorities who live on the land, who need the land, who understand the land, you can have a much better and more direct decision that impacts localities. A one-size-fits-all program coming from Washington may be a cliché, but it's still a true cliché. That is a lousy way of doing things. And going to the courts to make those decisions is an even worse way of making those kind of policy decisions. So it's not necessarily if there should be some kind of regulatory decisions, but who should be making those regulatory decisions.
Congressman Bishop, we have to move on, but one last thing for you. Is there a policy issue, an initiative that you see clear sailing now with a Republican majority in both houses?
I hope we can do a lot of those, not only in coming with a comprehensive energy program, but a water development, especially in the drought cycle the West is in, hydropower development, empowering Native Americans, and also empowering state and local governments and tribes to have greater say in how their lands are used and developed. All those things, I think, will have a better chance of being discussed now that the Senate has the free ability to actually discuss things without a heavy-handed Senate leadership kind of limiting what their discussion issues are in the first place.
Well, good luck, Congressman Rob Bishop, and may you avoid vetoes in your next 2 years.
We have a unique Secretary of Interior who has a business background. She's not a typical politician placed in those positions. And I think there is a chance of doing a lot of things that people didn't think were possible with the unique characters that are currently involved in the decision-making authority. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to get some stuff done.
Some bipartisanship and optimism from Rob Bishop. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Rob Bishop represents Utah's 1st Congressional District.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.